Our next guest, Dr. Simone Gold, is with America's Frontline Doctors. And if you have a question or comment for her, text Todd or I, 367-2054 for me, 226-8503 for him, or call us at 800-228-0550. With America's Frontline Doctors, Dr. Simone Gold. Thanks for joining us today. How are you? How are you?
Good morning. Well, thank you very much.
I have a million. I have a million questions for you, but the first is to just get a sense of how you feel. You and a handful of doctors have been advocating, around the country, your expertise in a way related to COVID that has led to this firestorm of shutting you down on Twitter and shouting you down and everything else. I mean, because I don't know, last time I checked, I want a doctor's opinion, and sometimes I want a second opinion, right? So you're giving opinion, you're educated, well-regarded, you're not crackpots, you're just a doctor giving an opinion, and yet you've been sort of shamed, COVID-shamed in America. What has that felt like?
I'm just sad for my country. For me, I know who I am. I've been to great schools. I've been educated for decades of my life. I've successfully treated patients for more than 20 years as a board-certified emergency physician. I don't need to listen to the media if they don't think I have anything interesting to say. But I'm so sad for my country because in addition to being a doctor, I'm also an attorney having gone to Stanford University Law School. So from a legal perspective, I'm watching our country lose its right to free speech. And that's what motivates me really more than anything.
No kidding. And it's happening right underneath our nose, along with so many other things. There's no doubt about it. We've been asking our listeners today, what's a bigger concern, COVID or the election? And, the vast majority of folks say the election. Obviously, we all know that COVID can take your life. It is a virus that we don't yet have a vaccine for, all of that. But the election is, by last count here, about 11 to 1, the bigger concern. And I think it's for the reasons you're talking about, whether it's free speech, whether it's, the lockdown mentality. What's behind this? I mean, if you had to pick one thing to say, why is it that something you see a little bit differently of, look, this therapy is available to you, take it, this, do these things and protect yourself, basically like you would do with any virus, versus lockdown, masks, all the things that, shut down the economy. What's the motivation here?
Anything that happens in an election year, you can be sure, has to do with the election. This is what that's about. It's not my opinion, by the way, that's different, or there's really thousands of us, even though thousands don't speak out. The overwhelming evidence supporting, for example, that hydroxychloroquine works early is being met with such disinformation and such censorship, I would be leaving your readers, your listeners, amiss to make them think this is an opinion. Anyone can look for themselves and see on AmericasFrontlineDoctors.com. There's more than 100, I think 150 studies at this point that show that it works. As we get more and more and more studies that show it works, the other side gets more and more frantic. But it's not an opinion. What's an opinion is if you decide if you want to take it, go talk to a doctor, decide yourself. It's free will. What's happening right now is an abridgment of our freedoms and our rights. And I think people understand that COVID is really just a symptom of that. Our response to COVID is just a symptom of that. Your listeners know or could be reminded that pandemics, epidemics have existed throughout all of human history. This is not the first. There is, in the time of our founding fathers, there was dengue, there was smallpox. There was something called the influenza epidemic of the 13 colonies of the 1730s. This took place just, years before they wrote the Bill of Rights. Everything that's going on now, including the reaction to COVID-19, is about the election.
And when you say it's about the election, In other words, scare people and make them think the president did a horrible job managing this, and if you throw him out, everything will be fine.
And just in general, when people are fearful, they're going to try to vote somebody out and try for something new. So things that they're saying are so hysterically untrue that with, even 10 minutes of digging would reveal the untruth in so many things they've said. For example, Dr. Fauci has changed his mind multiple times, and he's on record for saying things that are diametrically opposed to things he has said. Now, there, you know, people just have to spend about 10 minutes investigating this. And so the main thing going on is to control people with fear. It's with fear. So tell people that this is lethal, which it's overwhelmingly, it's not lethal. Overwhelmingly, COVID-19 is asymptomatic, mildly symptomatic, or completely recoverable. Overwhelmingly, you should not be living in fear. There's early treatment that works if you should get it. The exceptions to the people living their normal life would be if you have serious underlying conditions, if you have obesity or diabetes, or, for example, you're on dialysis or you have severe emphysema, people like that should be cautious. But one way of being cautious would be to take a preventive medicine like early prophylactic treatment with hydroxychloroquine and zinc. Either way, you should not be living in fear. That's the main message.
By the way, my friend Phil Kirpin just posted something about vitamin D insufficiency. It was present in 93.1% of the patients with severe critical COVID-19. I heard this a lot. President talks about it once in a while.
Vitamin C, D, zinc, quinine.
But specific to D, people think, wait a minute, a vitamin, that could help me? But, I mean, if 93.1% of the people with severe critical COVID had vitamin D insufficiency, it tells me I'm going to take vitamin D. What the heck? And I do already.
It's a hormone, too, I think, isn't it?
Is that a good way to go, Dr. Gold?
Yeah, so but you should check what I tweeted out yesterday. Earlier this week, Dr. Fauci said that the United States needed early treatment, I don't want to malign him too much, but that was incredible because for many months, I think about 6 months now, other countries have been handing out goodie bags, like doggy bags of early treatment medicines, including vitamin D. Vitamin D is very important. I don't know the exact number, but many of the people who are critically ill with COVID-19 have a vitamin D deficiency, but vitamin C, zinc, quercetin, which you can get over the counter. Yes, these things are very important. Instead, we have an NIH and a leading physician, Dr. Fauci and Dr. Birx, saying that there's no early treatment. It's ludicrous. Of course there is. Let doctors be doctors.
So given where we are now, the mask mandates are sweeping our part of the world in North Dakota and have been for a while in Minnesota. That seems to be the end all be all. I spoke this week with Dr. Deborah Birx, and while she defended many of her positions, one she actually gave in a little lunch. I said, I think people would be more apt to believe that wearing a mask, all the time, every time, and mandates and everything else would be a good idea if you could show them that it works, or demonstrate that you believe in the power of them. So, for instance, how about the mask mandate comes with opening up? Allow businesses that are being crushed right now, allow normal life to pick up, but everybody wears a mask. She said, well, that's actually been done in some places, and I'd be for that. What is the obsession with masks when we don't have anything to say masks work? And what do you think of the idea of tying wearing masks to opening back up?
I think all of these pieces of evidence that you so astutely point out prove that this is not about controlling a virus. It's about controlling human beings with fear. It's very fearful when you think you need a mask to live your daily life. It's very fearful when you see other people wearing a mask and you can't see that their faces, if they're smiling or expressions underneath. There is no serious evidence that shows that masks work. I'd like to point everybody to this obvious fact that you can go back and look at any scientific journal prior to March 2020, and there was never a pretense that masks, surgical masks, let alone bandanas, were useful for keeping out a virus that's the size 0.1 microns, which is 1/1,000th the size of a hair. It's ludicrous. It's like throwing sand at a chain-link fence. Of course it doesn't work. And if they believed it worked, they would do what you suggested. It doesn't work. And by the way, if it was so simple to stop a virus, do you think that our ancestors wouldn't have figured that out? We were not the first people to walk the planet in the 21st century. Centuries and centuries of living would have pointed that out. Like, you hold a tissue up to your face, you won't get sick. Coronavirus, COVID-19 is a coronavirus. Common colds are coronaviruses. Masks don't work.
Like throwing sand at a chain link fence. That's my new favorite saying.
I want to ask you, Dr. Gold, about long-term care. because obviously we're hearing a lot about the immense pain with families not being able to see loved ones. And obviously, at the same time, going back to your concern of who we need to be worried about, people with these underlying conditions and the elderly would be the ones we want to protect most. Should visitations happen?
Yes. I'm glad you reminded everyone to talk about this. And I'm going to answer you a little bit roundabout, because I want to emphasize that what you're hearing is not true. One of the reasons we know that is because things that they should be doing, they're not doing. So Dr. Robin Armstrong in Texas was the director of a nursing facility, and somebody came down with COVID in his nursing home, and he felt that all the patients were at risk of death. You understand, a third to half of nursing home patients who get this illness die. So when it started in his nursing home, he asked the residents if they wanted to be on hydroxychloroquine, zinc, and erythromycin, and they said yes. They all lived. You understand that we know what to do. Governor Cuomo, governors of New Jersey and Pennsylvania, they did not protect their frail elderly. So yes, you must protect your frail elderly. And if that was the goal, we could absolutely achieve that. And they need to have visitors, and we need to do it safely, but there are mechanisms in place to do that. We have ways to do that. I don't want people to feel hopeless.
I want to talk more about that when we come back. Hey, hold that thought. Dr. Simone Gold with us, America's Frontline Doctors. Finishing our conversation with, I believe, one of the heroes of the whole coronavirus episode. And that is these America's Frontline Doctors, because they've just done what they do. They're doctors. They study this stuff. They tell you what they believe. They're laying it out there. It isn't like they're saying, well, I like pink rather than, light blue.
Yeah,
you know,
exactly.
They're giving you information that you can use to protect your family, and you can decide, I like that, I agree with that, or I don't. That's the America I know. Where I get to see this doctor and say, boy, I want to know more, because I believe that, and I'm going to get one of those home treatment kits. I'm going to do this. But no, we have Twitter taking them down. We have Facebook taking them down. We have people shaming them. It's unbelievable. Ask yourself why. 20 times a day, do me that favor. Dr. Gold, let's finish on the long-term care situation and what to do there. So did I hear you right that you're saying, look, the visitation can happen and should happen, and it should come with choices for those individuals, for those residents, to protect themselves? Is that because
if you let doctors be doctors and let medical directors be medical directors, this thing will sort itself out. There are directors who've done this responsibly. It is a crime against our most frail elderly that we lock them out of having any visitors. And also, a lot of times, treatments like physical therapy or speech therapy. I myself as an emergency physician saw many, many cases, and the most sad one was a woman who died in the emergency department, and she was elderly. She was about 78. And her husband of 52 years was not allowed to come in. Was not allowed to come in to see his wife who's passing. And there are many, many cases like this, and people need to think long and hard before they let politicians be in charge of these things. Let doctors be in charge. They will find the responsible way to do these things, a safe way to do these things. Dr. Armstrong in Texas set up a system where he had one or two physicians and one or two nurse practitioners. They kind of moved in and they stayed in the facility with the patients during the worst of it. In other words, they didn't rotate doctors out like they normally would. It was just, you let the doctors come up with systems. We will absolutely be able to handle this. This is not the first pandemic that we've ever dealt with, right? We had H1N1, swine flu, Asian flu. This is the third respiratory virus epidemic that came from China alone in 25 years. We know how to manage this. Keep the politics out of it.
And fight for your loved ones. Don't take those are the rules for an answer. Man, we've become sheeple through this whole thing. Oh, Dr. Fauci says so. Goodness.
And be very cautious, because the people in charge are making rules that don't apply to you, that don't apply to themselves. The Secretary of Health of Pennsylvania, a Dr. Rachel, I forgot her last name, she was the one in charge of making the rules in Pennsylvania of long-term care facilities where people could not see their loved ones, like in a memory care, et cetera, or a nursing home. She quietly moved her own mother out of a nursing home or an assisted living situation, and she was able to have her mother with her, but all the other people's mothers and fathers and grandparents were locked away and couldn't be seen. It's a crime. I can assure you that the politicians are not putting their interests first. There's so much that I've seen. If you want more stories like this, I ended up writing a book that just came out last week. It's called I Do Not Consent, You can look for the I Do Not Consent book on Amazon.com. I'm sorry, it's on Amazon. I apologize, everyone. But you can read about stories like this, and it can inspire you to stand up for your rights.
I'm glad you mentioned it because I plan to as well. Texter says, does the doctor take sodium hypochlorite? I don't know if I'm saying that right. I usually
does
don't.
Does the doctor take sodium? I'm not sure what that is. I'm not sure what it is.
Yeah, H-Y-P-O-C-H-L-O. She's asking if you...
Hypochlorite.
...take sodium hypochlorite.
I don't know what... That name got mangled. If she's asking me if I'm taking hydroxychloroquine, hydroxychloroquine is very safe as a prophylactic. I actually did start taking it a couple of months ago, not because I was afraid of this disease, but because I was having high-level meetings, and if I tested positive, I would have been excluded. If you want to find out if you should take it or not take it, you can do a telemedicine consult anywhere in the country. You know, North Dakota, South Dakota, it's pretty easy to get. But no matter where you live in the country, you can get the stuff and you can put it in your medicine cabinet and stop being afraid.
Can you do what you do? In other
By
words,
the way, that's sarcastic.
This is what you should take. This is what, you know, this is what I suggest. Here's what we're going to do. Can you do that within a healthcare system as a doctor? I mean, are you able to prescribe what you think that patient needs?
No. So that's exactly what happened. You probably heard I got fired from my work, and it was specifically due to prescribing hydroxychloroquine and zinc after speaking out publicly. This, again, you need to take note. Nothing like this has ever happened before, where the government intruded itself in telling a doctor when you can and cannot prescribe an FDA-approved medication. This is FDA-approved for 65 years. It's been given billions of dosages have been done on the planet, and the governors and the bureaucrats are telling doctors when they can and can't use it. It's never happened.
It's unforgivable. It's un-American. I Do Not Consent is the book. Get it. You'll love it. Dr. Simone Gold, we'll have you back, and we appreciate everything you do. Thanks very much. Nothing wrong with questioning authority, folks.